Chiefs Nation postgame with Cord Stellick and Todd Halushko. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It rolls down into the Flames end. Going back after it. That is Hamilton's third career goal. This is his 48th. Another shot. Scores! Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right. Joe Bowen, of course, along with Jim Ralph, they had the play-by-play tonight, and that was indicative of all the hype, the emotion, the excitement, and deservedly so from back-to-back wins at home against the Washington Capitals on Saturday and the last night in Edmonton against the Edmonton Oilers. And tonight, it was all she wrote rather quickly for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 3-0 victory by the Calgary Flames over the Toronto Maple Leafs, who welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We will welcome callers in as well. Talk about tonight's game, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And just to put a little bit in context, Todd, before we get your walking to the subway initial assessment. So Freddie Hamilton scores 19 seconds into the game. Christopher Stieg scores 49 seconds into the game. So it's a 2-0 Calgary Flame lead quite early. Our guy Steve Fellin in the stats department. Last time a team scored two goals in the opening minute of a game was April 9th, 2011. So 5.5 years ago, the Philadelphia Flyers did it in 47 seconds against the New York Islanders. And the last time that the Calgary Flames did it was 1987 against a team called the Hartford Whalers back in April 1987 that they did that. And meanwhile, we'll be doing our out-of-town scoreboard later on. I hate this place here. This thing, this computer, the setup here. Here we go. Okay, let me get it over. Just want to get the other one. Quick note as far as it goes. This is New York Islanders. We'll talk about the out-of-town scoreboard later, but Anders Lee and former Leaf Nikolai Kuhlman scored two goals 3 seconds apart. Tied the NHL record for fastest two goals.
3 seconds?
By teammates. Second was an empty netter.
Okay.
Okay, so just to clarify, but that is an NHL record. So that was an NHL record. Imagine Anders Lee, Nikolai Kuhlman from the New York Islanders, and we'll talk about that game in the out-of-town scoreboard, but 2 goals, 3 seconds apart. For the Maple Leafs, it's 3-0 that they won, or excuse me, lost against the Calgary Flames, and talk about the game. Chad Johnson showing a lot of ways, but getting behind the eight ball rather quick.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that's a tough pill to swallow tonight, because you wonder, what if Freddie Anderson got the start tonight? I know you're not going to pin the whole thing on. Leafs got behind the eight ball by 2 goals, and it was 59 minutes, and I think that's what's going to be stressed by Mike Babcock in his post-game presser. I'm sure he's going to say that, yeah, not the start that they wanted to have, but they had 15 minutes to try to solve the Calgary Flames and Chad Johnson. But at the end of the day, yeah, you've got to score a goal to win. They didn't manage to do that. But when you're chasing the game, Gord, the whole time, it takes a lot of energy. And when you think that you're going to get that opportunity and Chad Johnson comes up with big save after big save, the doubt starts creeping into your head. And you're like, man, can we get one here? And he just didn't give them a sniff the entire night. And again, Toronto outshot him by 10 shots. It was 39-29. And there's, you know, the analytics of the game isn't going to show a 3-0 win by the Calgary Flames, because Toronto played a good game. A lot of good puck possession, a lot of good things that happened tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But at the end of the day, when you get behind the eight ball as quick as they did, it's a tough road to battle back from. And unfortunately for Toronto, they also ran into a very, very hot goaltender tonight in Chad Johnson.
Yeah, Chad Johnson joined us on Hockey Nation on Saturday before the game as well. And I mean, he's certainly been the tonic, just what the Calgary Flames needed after Brian Elliott struggled a little bit early on in the season. And you bring up a real important point this year. Even when the Leafs lose, there's always positives. And that wasn't the case last year, to say the least, and maybe some of the other seasons. And again, they didn't quit. They didn't go down. They went down fighting There was some exciting puck movement, some phenomenal chances, and ultimately phenomenal goaltending by Chad Johnson.
Yeah, no, and you feel bad for Enroth. I mean, I was one of the guys to say
hasn't won yet.
Well, I know, and I said at the beginning or yesterday actually, I think that they should go back with Anderson, as did a ton of people, and then Mike Babcock chose to take the different route, and you're hoping that the decision tonight will help long term. I mean, everyone was looking short term, like, oh, we've got to capitalize on this. We've got to get a victory. Yeah, they wanted to win tonight. I thought maybe they would have put him in, but they have bigger plans and bigger aspirations of what they want to do with Anderson. So that's what you live with and you go with it. But it's just unfortunate because they had a nice wave they were riding with Freddie Anderson, and all of a sudden it gets derailed because you put the backup in. And I'm not saying that's the main reason why they lost, but it was a significant piece to the game plan tonight. And you hope that now they can get back on it. Freddie Anderson gets back in net in Vancouver and is be able to start this wave again and going. But you'd really like to see Toronto win a couple back-to-backs for the first time. I mean, again, they've won one game out of all those back-to-backs in the last, well, they haven't won a game in the back-to-back yet.
So five times.
It'd be nice to see them to get one of those. And you figured maybe tonight was going to be the night with Freddie Anderson going, but that wasn't the case. Enroth went. But, Gord, at the end of the day, you got to score a goal. They didn't score any goals. The offense let them down tonight, and ultimately they lose 3-0.
Yeah, we will go over the goals in a little bit more detail, but unlike the Maple Leafs like yesterday, where a lot of guys were scoring the 10th goals of the season, it was Freddie Hamilton's first of the year. Of course, he's the older brother of Dougie. Chris Versteeg is third of the year at Matt Stage, and the former Leaf his second of the year. So is Versteeg, a former Leaf. Anyway, so the lesser lights getting it for the Calgary Flames. Again, calling in 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Let's see, how about we go with our old buddy Leo in Waterloo. Hey, Leo.
Hey, buddy pals. How's it going there, Todd and Gord?
We're good.
Good, Leo.
We're
good.
Okay, glad to hear it. I got a number of things, but I'm just going to try and keep it in a row. First of all, there was a lot of hacks at the hands coming at the Leafs tonight, which is kind of surprising. There were some comments prior to the game, and I don't recall who. Actually, there was a couple of places that I was looking at, reading, and hearing it, that depends on, and it was based on Babb's comment about, you got a good idea about how the game's going to go when you get to the rink. And that was a reference to the refereeing or so forth, whatever, because there's obviously different personalities involved. And it just seemed to me like there were a number of instances that should have been called that weren't, and especially with hacks at the wrist and hand level that shouldn't have been done. So with players like that that perform those kind of actions, I think that they should be thinking about, would I like to have that done to myself? Because it's gotten ridiculous. Like today, I don't know, do you think that today was kind of ridiculous like that? I'll wait for your answer later. Secondly, I don't believe that anybody in the top five, any team in the top five right now, that they could have challenged Calgary tonight based on Craig Johnson. Like he was nuts in net. Calgary
Chad
played a great defensive game, and they got off to a quick start. Regardless of what happened in the first minute of the game, the first goal that went in on Enroth, that's kind of, you know, like he should have saved that. But the second one, it was fluke. The third one is questionable. But it just took that kind of thing in the first period. And we were dead in the first. We started coming back in the second. There were pockets. And there was just no way of beating this guy, aside from when we started to come back. A lot of shots were not on net. They were at the net, but they were missing. There were some miscues here and there. But all in all, it's impressive with what they tried to do in coming back. Not that 3-0 is a big deal for this team. They could have easily done that, but it just wasn't written in the cards
tonight.
Yeah,
you know,
Vancouver's going to be
appreciate what you say, Leo. You know, I just want to get on and get some other callers on the line. But, you know, first of all, what he talks about before the game, Mike Babcock And we believe it was, well, we know it's Wes McCauley. A lot of people consider him the best referee going. Maybe it's Ian Walsh as well. They were the two officials. But Babcock referenced that, you know, you're going to get a good game. You look at who's refereeing. So the ultimate kind of compliment that way. The other one when he, so the refereeing had nothing to do with tonight's game. Two goals in 49 seconds did. But you know the hacking on wrists?
Yes.
And who was it the Minnesota Wild got? Who was, they complained about that they were... Yeah, Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. That's right, the Calgary Flames. And, you know, talking to Wendell Clark, and Wendell Clark played that style, the physical style, and he really believes nowadays the physical style is strong sticks. Like, it's not the big hit. It's not, of all people, Wendell Clark, right? So part of it is the hacking, but just in general, the strong sticks, you know, being strong, holding your stick, and being strong, just trying to go at the guy's stick rather than rubbing the guy out.
Well, that's why one of the best guys in the National Hockey League who was the best at it and still is Jaromír Jágr. Jaromír Jágr has always been strong in his stick, and he's still excelling nowadays. Jaromír Jágr has got such a strong style to his game, and I agree with him. The hitting side of it is still in the game, but the fact that if you can be strong on your stick, if you can be strong on someone else, it's a big part of the game right now. And Gord, I've got to agree 100% with what you're saying. You were strong on your headphones here a second ago.
Yeah, I know. It just this is studio set up for TV more than radio.
I lost my train of thought there. I was having a good time.
No, I was talking about just that particular part about it. Now, first of all, what he's talking about is it's not as far as tonight's game with Wes McCauley, Ian Walsh being the referee is the difference. I mean, I don't know, same kind of thing. But he just mentioned about the hacking and whacking. I don't know. Nobody got hurt as far as it went for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, I just made the point in the league in a whole, and it was Ryan Suter, the Wild, that hacked Johnny Gaudreau. They said, didn't they say something like there were 20 hacks to the wrist or something? Like Eric Staal and guys like that. Yeah. Like that was a particular style they played, and a lot of teams are looking to play right now.
Everyone was going at him, and there was a highlight reel pack of what was going on against Johnny's wrist and stuff, and that happens. But, you know, the other part to Leo's question, he was just talking, or his point was talking about how they got behind the eight ball, and it's so true. It's Toronto did the same thing to Edmonton last night. They got off to a strong start and Edmonton couldn't recover from it, and that happened, you know, that happened to them tonight, and then those things happen. You run into a hot goaltender. Mike Babcock's not going to be happy with the start, but I don't think he's going to be all that disappointed on the effort 59 minutes afterwards. He's going to say that the goalie's got to help him out, got to try to make him win, give him a chance to win the game. But at the end of the day, you got to score a goal, and they couldn't do that against Chad Johnson. They've got to regroup, they've got to forget about it, and they've got to go at it hard on Saturday night against Vancouver and make it a productive road trip coming back with 4 points.
Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko, Leafs Nation. Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Funny tonight, in our pregame show, we played a clip from Austin Matthews. He was talking. He wasn't even here last year in Toronto. But the Nazem Kadri has no friends in Edmonton after last night's game. he's got no friends in Vancouver because they're ticked off about what happened, you know, the hit. So we'll see what happens there. Calgary last year, he had the throat slash gesture against Mark Giordano. But yet tonight, and then meanwhile, we played clips from Brad Treliving and then Dougie Hamilton talking about the Dougie Hamilton trade rumors that are out there, and they're quickly refuting and, you know, taking issue with. And then it's his older brother, Freddie, that is strong on Nazem Kadri early. So, I mean, it's just funny, all these storylines and, you know, your keys to victory. When you get a goal against you in 19 seconds and you get a goal against you in 49 to second goal, it takes all that part out. And the Nazem Kadri story was taken out as well.
Well, it really was. And they didn't have to, you know... Calgary just came out and they got on the board real quick, and then anything that you wanted to plan to go against them, they just sorry, producer Matt Brown. Anyways, we got to move on, Gord, real quick. We've got Tristan from Ajax that wants to get a call in right now. Let's hear what Tristan has to say.
Tristan has to say.
Okay, so I was at Boston Pizza watching the game as well as Toronto FC and whatnot. The one thing that I noticed or that I took away from it, yes, everything was very deflating in the beginning. 49 seconds, two goals scored against us. It was really garbage. But for the majority of the game, you could see hunger in these young guys, right? I think that if people are going to get on about the performance that happened tonight, we still need to remember this is a rebuild. And this is a young team. And sometimes things like this will happen. And I think the two goals prove that Freddie Anderson is a substantial piece to our growth, right? And right now, I'm not really too concerned about it because last night we took out Connor McJesus. So it's, you know, you'll win some, you lose some, you can't win them all. But, like, it's a rebuild. Like, let's not get on everybody's cases because these things didn't happen. Miscues here and there, fine. But wait till they, like, come into their own. They're going to be.
Yeah, hey, thanks very much for the call. And you know what, I'll turn. I think last year was a rebuild. I think that's when the big hole was there, rebuilding your house. I think right now you're picking your colors and your appliances and all that. Like, I think it's actually kind of a better than rebuild phase. It's been kind of nice that you see it all coming together. So I think, and that's by and large what the fans have bought into. Okay, Jonas Enroth, the whole Kerry Ramos saga being out there somewhere, had his nameplate in the Leaf dressing room, trying to get healthy again, doesn't have a contract. Now, Jonas Enroth has not won in any of his starts. Mm-hmm. Hard to say what you can blame him for or not. He played better late, but you're already behind the eight ball. And you look at some of the goals that went on that way. What did you think about Jonas Enroth's game tonight at the end of the day? We know in the first minute, nobody could be happy.
Well, no, yeah, of course. Let's take away the first minute of the game and even the third goal. But other than that, I mean, he could have quit. He could have let the next goal get in. It could have got really away from him. So I'm not taking anything away from him. I just think that at the beginning of the game and even at the end of the game, you've got to give your team a chance to win. And unfortunately, they didn't get the saves right early in the game. It's not all on Enroth. They got to score goals. And he's a backup. And, I mean, the guy's only played three or four. What is that? His fourth game that he's actually started, or third game that he's actually started, got some minutes. And so, yeah, you can't expect him to come in and pitch a shutout. So, at the end of the day, the Leaf defensemen, the Leaf forwards knew that they had to play solid defensively. They played unbelievable in front of Anderson last night. That's what they were looking for from the Leafs forwards right from the drop of the puck tonight in front of Enroth, especially against your backup, and it didn't happen. But he battled, he stayed with it, and he gave Freddie Anderson an important night off. Ultimately, Mike Babcock could have maybe switched the goalies and put Anderson back in on the first day, but this was Anderson's first, it was a scheduled day off, obviously, for him. So at the end of the day, he wasn't going to pull him out and give Anderson in. It was one of those days, the same way as Alex Montoya did the same thing and played that game where they gave up 9 goals or 10 goals against, I forget who it was, but anyways.
Yeah, way back when. You talk about, and by the way, one last shutout thing. Chad Johnson becomes the first Flames goaltender with 3 shutouts in a calendar month. So we got 3 shutouts in the month of November since back in December 1999. Any idea? I never would have got it in a million years.
No idea.
Freddie Brathwaite.
Oh,
imagine that. I mean, people probably hardly remember he played for the Calgary Flames, but it's Chad Johnson getting the shutout tonight. It was a 3-0 Calgary Flames victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll hear from Mike Babcock, head coach of the Maple Leafs. We'll try to take some more calls as well. Darren Millard will drop by. He had the game tonight on Sportsnet. It's Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
In Toronto, wearing the Leaf isn't something we take lightly. Leafs Nation knows it, and so does Molson Canadiens. It takes commitment, passion, and sacrifice. Because you can only be ready after giving it everything you've got. And we're keeping that feeling alive with a special Centennial Edition Toronto Maple Leafs Team Can. Now available at participating retailers. Molson Canadian, proud partner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Must be legal drinking age while supplies last.
Snowmobilers, are you ready? Leatherdale Marine has Ski-Doo snowmobiles that push snowmobiling forward with leading technologies like E-Tech and Ace Engines, R-Motion rear suspension, and Pilot TS adjustable skis to make your next ride the best one ever. During the Yellow Tag event, save up to $1,500 on select models. Plus, get great financing. Head into Leatherdale Marine in Remera or online at leatherdalemarine.com. Ski-Doo, what matters is what's next. Offer ends November 30th, 2016. Restrictions apply, subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Night and day, rain or shine, the skilled and dedicated men and women of the Power Workers Union are on the job operating and maintaining Ontario's vast network of wires that deliver electricity to power our homes, businesses, and favorite radio station. Learn more at pwu.ca. From the people who help keep the lights on. The Power Workers Union.
About tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Played out at center into the Leaf blue line. Brought in on the left wing. Trolley centers. They score! Matty Stajan going to the front of the net. Brolin hit it.
Oh, there we go. That was the final goal of the night for the Calgary Flames. It's Matt Stajan, the former Maple Leaf, his second goal of the season. That was a power play goal. All three goals in the first period. The Calgary Flames, 3-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Of course, we continue to welcome your calls at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard in a few minutes' time. We're also going to hear from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, what he's got to say. And, of course, earlier today we mentioned Peter Holland not on the trip. He basically has Lou Lamoriello told him to stay home, that as the rebuild goes, not a spot for him. We know with Milan Mihalik and guys like that, Milan Mihalik, Colin Greening and Brooks Like, they're all playing for the Toronto Marlies as far as it goes. So anyway, that's what went on as far as Toronto Maple Leafs go. We welcome you back, Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko with you.
Sorry about that, Gord.
Why, were we not on the air or something like that?
Oh, we are on the air?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I just had to do some running around real quick.
Okay. I didn't know. Okay. Anyway, we talk about a little bit of that. We said about Matt. That was Matt Stajan getting the goal, second goal of the game. Chris Versteeg is third of the season. Freddie Hamilton got his first goal, 3-0 win. Again, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Anyway, Peter Holland situation. So 1 year, $1.3 million contract. He signed in the offseason. And basically, I just said, it's kind of like the whole changing of the guard and adding Ben Smith via waivers and all the young guys as well.
Yeah, and we talked about it between intermissions with about Peter Holland. He's a casualty of numbers, obviously, and the fact that this youth movement has maybe basically transpired a little bit quicker than we thought. Some of these young guys never thought that maybe they would be ready as quick as they are, and Peter Holland was going to be one of the guys who was going to keep the bench warm for those guys, and that's why he signed his one-year deal. And a nice little contract for him, but at the end of the day, he's not playing. He's not happy. He wants to move on, even though it wasn't his decision to stick behind. It was Lou Lamoriello's. But at the end of the day, Peter Holland is going to move on to maybe greener pastures for himself. Maybe the timing is right. It's kind of nice for his expansion team. A guy like that may fit into Vegas next year. But I think someone will be out there, that someone will give him a chance. It'll be interesting to see if Toronto's got to eat any of his salary to have him moved. But at the end of the day, just a matter of numbers. And the youth movement of Toronto, maybe materializing a little bit quicker and getting developing faster than they anticipated. And that's why Peter Holland is going to be on the way out, which is unfortunate, because great person, good player, good guy. Would have liked to see him be here a little bit longer.
Yeah, I don't know if they're thinking like bringing Brandon Leipzig out, one of the young guys, or are they thinking maybe Brooks Like. There's been a promise there that, for example, he
there's
can finish
the season.
There's
some depth down there. That's a thing,
yeah.
Too, yeah.
You know, I don't know which one. Are they gonna throw another young guy up here, or are they going to, like I said, get the veteran guy, maybe a guy like Brooks Like or Mihalik or whomever, finish off their NHL careers with the National Hockey League team?
Well, I'll tell you what. I went and saw the Marlies play the Phantoms on yesterday before we came in and did our game against Edmonton. And Brandon Leipzig, he looked so good out there. I mean, they lost 4-1, but every time he was on the ice, he seemed like he has that skill set above everyone else, and it's a skill set that belongs in the National Hockey League. So I wouldn't be too surprised if you don't see him up here at some point in the next little while.
Just quick notes, shots 39-29. So we'll go over the stats and all the goals a little bit later on. Of course, we had the action for you tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and it was on TV on Sportsnet. And Darren Millard, part of the gang doing all that, joining Gord Stelick and Todd Alushko. Hey, Darren.
Gord, hello, Todd.
Hello, Darren.
So, you know when guys start squeezing their sticks a little too tight and they're in a slump or late in the game and you're trying to score and you're squeezing your stick too tight?
Yeah.
I'm getting the message that Gord's squeezing his headphones too tight.
There was a little bit of a battle going on, and I feel bad for Gord because you know how it is in here. Sometimes the headsets aren't functioning properly, and Gord went to about two or three different sets, and they weren't coming through. So, but he managed to get things corrected, and he's all set. He's
yeah, and anyway, very quick, because people don't care about what happens technically. But so we share. Yeah. So it just, there's been an ongoing situation here about the audio. Then I went to get a second headset, didn't work. So I'm very mature, and I threw two against the glass here, and was playing with. I was like playing without a stick for a while, and then we came back from commercial, and I thought they were setting me up with an April Fool's joke for a sec. They weren't here, and they thought I was setting them up with an April Fool's that we weren't on. So this is
it's only
NHL
November.
Professional radio at its finest. So we're like the Maple Leafs were in the first minute.
I was just going to say, who's having a better, worse night? The Toronto Maple Leafs in that first period or yourself? Because it was interesting, when they did their media availability, when they arrived at the rink, Mike Babcock was asked about tonight and playing on back-to-backs again, and they haven't had any success in playing two games in two nights. And he said, we just got to be ready at the start. We got to be ready to go right at the beginning. And that wasn't even close. And I don't... As much as you want to blame Jonas Enroth and the backup goaltender and not being able to come up with saves, he was abandoned in that opening frame.
Yeah, nothing was a glaring soft goal. And no. And of all the strange storylines, like I said, we have all these storylines. Nazem Kadri's a great storyline out there. Dougie Hamilton's ticked about the trade rumors, and lo and behold, it's his older brother Freddie that really, really outmuscles Naz for the puck. And just wow, before you have a chance, if you're sitting at home to open your first beer or pop or coffee, it's in.
And the second goal is funny because it's a rebound off Enroth that he kicks to his left, and it's one-timed in. But Jake Gardner, as a defenseman, is coming back facing his own goaltender instead of facing out towards the oncoming rush, and he doesn't pick up the check or isn't in a position to pick up the check at all. So there weren't glaring errors by Enroth, but there were certainly fixable mistakes by the forwards and the defense.
Well, Darren, exactly, and you know, I don't want to pin it on Enroth because it's not deserved. I mean, he was kind of left out to dry, and he didn't. He hasn't had a ton of starts. So, but I got to agree with you. I mean, the one thing is that you may still get though is that the critics will say, listen, why didn't you start Freddie Anderson? This wouldn't have happened. Maybe he would have made that big save. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely correct. That, you know, especially the very first goal, all that was, well, that was a simple situation where Freddie Hamilton outmuscled Nazem Kadri, walks up the wall, and Kadri starts puck staring, and Hamilton comes back into the slot, and Ferland finds him for a one-timer when Kadri didn't pay attention to him. And we've been popping Kadri's game up, but you got to take the good with the bad, and he gets he gets the credit when he's playing well, and that was just a bad play by Kadri in the first goal.
Yeah, all three goals were defendable if you're in the game and you're aware. The third goal was a stretch pass by the Calgary Flames. They get up to the line, Giordano jumps into play. It's a soft 3-on-2, but the defense gets caught too wide apart, and then there's a gap, and they go to the net, and Matt Stajan puts home the Frolik pass. So this was simple breakdowns that, to their credit, they were able to curtail in the back half of the game, and it was an evenly played game. I don't think Toronto played its best game offensively. Chad Johnson's saves probably looked better than it necessarily was. There was a push at the end of the second period and a bit of a rush in the third period, but I thought it was a pretty even game for the most part. It was just some really simple mistakes that the Toronto Maple Leafs did, fundamental mistakes that they made that cost them goals in the early going.
Well, we'll look at the flip side. By the way, Darren Millar joining Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, Leafs Nation postgame. A 3-0 win for the Calgary Flames, shutout win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So Leafs now, that was their second road win of the season last night in Edmonton. Boy, Calgary, who are, you know, they're struggling in one sense, but they're hanging in the playoff spot in another sense. That was only their fourth home win. I mean, it's one thing when you're struggling, but when you're struggling at home, it can get really ugly. So that's a huge win for them in so many facets.
Well, Elliot Friedman on our set said the exact same thing. One, to score two goals early and give the fans something to get into the game when throughout this season, for the first 10 games, there's been very little to go on for that franchise. Even when they've been winning the few games that they have been able to at the Dome, there hasn't been a really good vibe around this team. So they go out on the road. And it looks like they found their stride a little bit. They only scored the 13 goals in the six games, but they're picking up some points, more points won than left on the table. And they come home, and you're just worried that that there's going to be a sag, and there wasn't. In fact, it was the exact opposite, scoring the two goals in the first 49 seconds and having a 3-0 lead after the first period. And Brian Burke, along with what he was saying about Dougie Hamilton today and that they're not shopping around, was also very critical with how his team's performed on home ice. And I think what you've seen in the last 2 weeks, especially with Johnny Gaudreau being out of the lineup, you've seen some real building blocks come into place and a much better blue line. And with the win tonight, a little bit of a sense of relief for the fan base and for the team itself.
Hey, Darren, quick, like, you know, we're talking about Enroth. You know, it's not his fault. Nothing was going on. But in terms of maybe curbing the momentum and stuff, and maybe, you know, on a different night, Anderson does come in the second period. Is this a situation the same way it happened in Montreal, where it was Carey Price's day off and Al Montoya goes in net and gets lit up for a number of goals? And normally you would see the goalie come back in, but this is something that was scheduled. Mike Babcock ultimately made that decision. You know, regardless of if he thought it was his fault or if we could have changed momentum, this was a scheduled day off for Anderson. And he wasn't coming in under any circumstances.
No, I think if they would have got another one early in the second period, I think you would have seen Anderson come in. I really second guess not starting Anderson tonight.
Me
for
too.
The simple reason that you said, like if you've got a win on the road like they did last night against an Oilers team with some offensive weapons. And then you face a team that's scuffled, even though there's strong signs that they're coming together in the Calgary Flames. I would have taken advantage of that tonight, and I would have started my number one goaltender despite it being back-to-back, and then given them a complete day off tomorrow when they fly to Vancouver. So you're not in the expected to be in a playoff push, so you're working things a little differently. I don't know that for sure, but I'm of the belief when you've got Freddie Anderson going so hard and so good right now, I would have started him.
Oh, and you're hoping that this is going to be a long-term thing. I mean, we're all looking at the short term, so hopefully down the road this is going to pay off.
It's like they're conceding the back
yes.
half, and I know they're not. I realize they're not, and they're still trying to play hard, but. They play more back-to-backs than anybody in the National Hockey League this year, 18. And you can't throw away 36 points. And Freddie's played back-to-back on one occasion this year. But I think they're going to have to get into a little different mindset where they're going to have to start their number one goaltender on back-to-backs.
You know, quick last question. We talked too much about 12th forward and 13th forward and 7th defenseman, but with Peter Holland not being there, I mean, do you get to think it's going to be Brandon Leipzig or someone like that they're going to continue the youth movement, or do you think maybe a Brooks-like or someone like that, they'll plop one of those veterans up to finish his career on the NHL side?
Well, it's a tough call. You being a former general manager and looking at it, do you reward Brandon Leipzig for what he's done and leading the American Hockey League in scoring, and his performance again on the weekend against Utica was splendid? Or do you throw the guys, the veterans, a bit of a bone and say, okay, you've gone down there, you've played hard, you've done what we asked, come back up. Now, if it's me, I think I would call up the veteran and wait for an injury or something to happen and give the next wave of kids the call up. But the way this organization has gone about the personnel decisions with their veteran players, I'd be surprised if it wasn't Brandon Leipzig that's been recalled.
Yeah, but to play fourth line, I'd rather the guy be playing 23 minutes, you know, in the Marlies. But you're right, with Soshnikov and acquiring Ben Smith on waivers, I mean, they've gone full hog. So
I'll tell you what, Darren, I told Gord that I went and watched that game and I saw the Marlies play the Phantoms the other night. And of all the veterans between like Brooks Light and Mahalik and Greening was the best guy out there. And I mean, he's the type of guy that you would bring up and you'd pluck him into a fourth line to roll. And he's just a big body and works hard. But I agree, like Leipzig, if you bring him up, you know, he's a top six guy. That's what he needs to be right now. He's not going to be in a fourth line. So it's all going to depend on what Toronto wants. Maybe they're not going to make any moves. Maybe they're going to leave it as it is for now. But I would say of those three guys that I watch play down there, Colin Greening is the one that's most deserving right now.
Well, if you bring up Leipzig, then I think it just crushes Greening and Brooks Light. Yeah. It just, man, what would it do to their souls? And there's no there's no guarantees. Milan Mihajlovic, I mean, he's already been through the ringer with what he's endured this year in being sent to the minors and his number given away. So, but I know you're not supposed to bring emotion into it, but I'd feel really bad for those guys.
Yeah, and Milan Mihajlovic gave up his no trade last year as well. But I mean, the same predicament might be facing him in Ottawa. But hey, we'll talk more.
Your headphones fit.
Well, one of them fits okay. I kind of look like that old show, My Favorite Martian, or something like that, way back when, or Revenge of the Nerds, or whatever it may be. But it's all good. When you're on Darren, everything goes well. This is everything swimmingly. You brought a Serenity Now feel to it. So
you put a smile on Gord's face.
So thanks as always.
Suggestion? Can I make a suggestion?
What's that?
That tonight maybe is the night that producer Matt Brown doesn't screw around with your jacket. just lets you go into the night and have a quiet exit from the studio.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm sure they did it one more time. Folded my jacket into one of those kit bags anyway. Yeah, you know, we lost 3-0 tonight too. We've had... It's been indicative of the game on the ice, off the ice, till you came on board. Hey, thanks as always, Darren.
My pleasure. You guys are great. I love coming on.
Thanks. Darren Millard joining us at the TV version tonight. We'll be back. More Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Played out at center into the Leaf blue line. Brought in on the left wing. Trolley centers. They score! Matty Stajan going to the front of the net. Put his stick on the ice and Frolik hit it.
Well, that's all Joe Bowen had to call tonight. Three Calgary Flame goals all in the first period. Two in the first 49 seconds of the game. The Calgary Flames 3-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Tell you what, we have to catch up on breaks, so we'll do a quickie here. We'll hear from Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time, and we'll get our man Matt Brown to update on the, I know it's not a large out-of-town scoreboard, but Leafs did outshoot Calgary 39-29. Looking at, let's see, five shots from Austin Matthews. He's always up there in shots. Five shots from Mitch Marner. Four shots from James Van Riemsdyk. Four shots from William Nylander. Four shots from Nazem Kadri. So spreading it around that way. And I think one big note was that Nylander, after being relegated to kind of the fourth line the other night, 19 minutes and 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, he far and away, or not far and away, but he had the most ice time of any forward.
Yeah, no, and I think he deserved it. I think he was working extremely hard. He was being creative. Got some good power play minutes there. You know, and that's the one thing, Gord, I take from this game. I mean, it's tough to take positives anytime there's a loss, but even though they were 0-for-2 in the power play, that looked really nice. I mean, those guys were zipping around the puck. Puck recovery in the zone was fantastic and had tons of chances. It just didn't get rewarded. Maybe, you know, trying to be a little bit too cute at times, but I thought that they zipped it around. They looked really well, really good, and I think that's where William Nylander really excelled tonight. He was being really creative, and he was starting a lot of things, and the guy was great. He was hounding pucks all night, so a well-deserved almost 20 minutes for William Nylander tonight.
Yeah, a little tweaking on the lines as well. Nikita Soshnikov getting more ice time. He's caught the eye of head coach Mike Babcock. Connor Brown a little less, 11 minutes and 5 seconds. So sort of being, I don't know what to say, the designated fourth line, but a little bit more that direction.
Well, and maybe chasing the game a little bit too. Once you get behind the 8-ball, 3-0 in the first period, you know, or you want to try to create a little bit. And I think that's why Nylander got a little bit more ice time as well. And Brown maybe not as much. They wanted to try to get some goals, try to create some offense as quick as they could to get back into the game. But that didn't happen tonight. But we'll see. I mean, it'll be a different game plan, I'm sure. It won't be a different game plan. They're going to go into Vancouver and play the same way they have been playing, which has been tough and hard. But it's going to be an interesting night on Saturday night. So hopefully they can put this one behind them and get ready and try to bring back 4 out of 6 points on the road. I mean, that was ultimately when we said when they went on this road trip, what's going to be a satisfactory number when they come back? And I think everyone was saying 4. If they can get more than 4, it'd be a bonus. But they still have a chance to come back from this Western road trip with 4 to 6 points.
Well, we'll take the break, come back. We'll hear from Mike Babcock, the head coach. We'll get a look at the out-of-town scoreboard as well. 3-0 The Calgary Flames defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It's your postgame workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It rolls down into the Flames end. Going back after it. That is Hamilton's third career goal. This is his 48th. Another shot. Scores! Oh, boy.
There we have it. As I said, we're kind of getting tired of the repetitive Joe Bowen calls, but that is all we have. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Do we have, has Mike Babcock in yet? No, I haven't got Mike Babcock in yet. We'll hear from the Maple Leaf head coach in a few minutes' time. It's not an active out-of-town scoreboard, but we're going to bring our guy Matt Brown on to give us a little update. Like yesterday, there were 12 games around the National Hockey League, including the Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers. Just two other games, one final, one in progress right now. What do we have, Matt?
Well, you mentioned the one earlier, the final already tonight. Islanders win 5-3 against the Penguins. Is there a team that needed a big victory more than the Islanders? Probably not. But they end up holding on after jumping out to a 3-0 lead. The Penguins storm back with goals from Connor Sheary, Justin Schultz, and Evgeny Malkin. Crosby with two assists. And then with 27 seconds left, Anders Lee wins it with his fifth of the season. But then 3 seconds later, Nikolai Kuhlman scores, tying an NHL record for the fastest two goals. And can you name the two other teams that are tied that record with?
So two goals in 3 seconds, which, by the way, the second goal here was an empty netter. I don't know what it was for the other situations. Can you name them, Todd?
I have no idea. And three seconds apart, that's a drawback and a one-timer to them. That's crazy fast.
So last team, the Minnesota Wild in 2004, before that, this was, I think, like, Gord, you would have been what, 4 or 5? The St. Louis Eagles in 1935.
I was at that game against, I think it was against the Philadelphia Quakers, and really enjoyed it. Well, I wonder if the minute, we'll take a look later. Like, was it, were goaltenders in net for either of those cases? Like this one,
the Anders Lee goal, the game winner, yes,
empty netter.
Matt Murray was in net, but then the Kuhlman goal was the empty netter, which set the record. But Sidney Crosby records his 100th career point against the Islanders, most against any other opponent in his career.
Well, and that, and again, later on tonight, the LA Kings, San Jose Sharks.
That one is underway already.
Second period. Okay.
The Sharks are already out to a 3-1 lead. They scored 3 unanswered goals in the first period. Kevin LeBanc, his second. Logan Couture, his eighth. And Ryan Carpenter gets his first career NHL goal, while Dustin Brown has just scored for the Kings 3 minutes into the second period. There's about 16 minutes left in the second. Sharks are up 3-1. Peter Budaj, 3 goals against on 7 shots in the first period.
And are the, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that Los Angeles is trying for their 6th straight win? Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, they are. Yeah. That is correct, yeah.
So,
and Budaj trying to tie the league lead in wins. He's got 12 right now. I believe Carey Price has 13.
Yeah, that's a great story for him. He's come up and he's taking over the Jonathan Quick job, and he's been doing a great job. And we were talking to Mark Osborne, who's a pro scout for LA, the other night. He came into the booth, which was awesome for him to come in. And he was talking about how wonderful a job he's done. And that's what you need. You need goaltenders to come in and put a Band-Aid on a situation for you and take care of things till your other guys get in. And that's the same situation tonight. You were hoping that Enroth would have come in, given Anderson that break tonight, and maybe snuck away with a victory. Unfortunately, that didn't happen for Toronto tonight. But again, let's look at it long term. We hope that this rest for Anderson tonight is going to result in more wins in the future for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, again, the other side, we chatted with Darren Millard about it as well. Like, this is a huge win for the Calgary Flames. They've been a team struggling. They're still hanging in the playoff race, to see the, say the least, which speaks a lot about the weak division they're in, and also the whole other conversation about how the balancing of the two conferences now, the East, with also the Red Wings switching conferences. Even though the Red Wings aren't a powerhouse anymore, they were generally a powerhouse in the West for so many years. And fourth win at home for the Calgary Flames. And maybe Chad Johnson is this year's version of Matt Murray. I mean, he wasn't the starting goaltender. That was Brian Elliott. He's been Jonas Enroth-like, bouncing around from team to team to team. And he has grabbed lightning in a bottle. And we certainly saw that, you know, tonight. It wasn't like there were a phenomenal number of scoring chances, but there was sustained pressure, and there were 39 shots by the Maple Leafs.
Well, he turned aside Mitch Marner on a breakaway, and the power play did a great job. So, but I mean, was that his third shutout in his last seven games? Is that right, Matty? I think that's what it is. And, you know, you look at that Calgary team. You talk about the West, too, Gord, and you look at maybe some of the disappointments on that. Like, you look at Dallas that's kind of fallen off, Winnipeg that was off to a good start, and even the top teams like San Jose is not going crazy, 13-9. I mean, but, yeah, you're right that the balance of power has definitely switched to the East right now with Montreal with 34 points, Rangers with 33, Ottawa surprisingly at 29, and defending Stanley Cup champs 29. So, yeah, you have to think that the power has switched a little bit to the East, at least through the first 20 games of the National Hockey League.
Well, as mentioned, 3-0 Calgary Flames over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs heading to Vancouver, and the Nazem Kadri saga, which never really took place, is one that heads to Vancouver. I know we'll set up that game a little bit later on as well, but they'll have a couple of off days, whatever fatigue. And fatigue is legit, back-to-back that way. Won't be a problem on Saturday, but that will be interesting. The Vancouver Canucks playing a little bit better of late, and I wonder, and you seem to think, because you're a little bit old school, that you know there will be a moment of reckoning that the Vancouver Canucks will be expecting for Nazem Kadri and or Matt Martin.
Well, it's going to... Yeah, I think that there's going to be some, it's going to be addressed. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but I think that the participants of Matt Martin and Nazem Kadri are going to be prepared for it. I would never by any means see those guys instigating anything. I think it's all going to be up to Vancouver if they feel there needs to be some redemption thrown their way towards Nazem Kadri and Martin in terms of what happened last time in Montreal with Matt Martin taking on, who was it again, Troy Stetcher, and then and obviously with Kadri taking out Sedin there with a hit that was never penalized, but you know, Vancouver thought it was a dirty hit. I don't think that Toronto is going to be out looking for it, but if they bring it, which I think it's still going to happen, I think Gabranson, he called out Matt Martin in the hallway saying you're dead, and I mean, I just think that in the old days of playing the games, when you do something like that, you're going to have to back those words up. And I think that's going to be one confrontation that you're going to see. And I would see that those guys would get it out of the way early and often, and then just, you know, get back to playing hockey. So that's just the way it is. That's how you did it in the old days. I suspect those are kind of two old souls that they may do that. They may be dance partners early in that game on Saturday.
Jonas Enroth, you think the last 40 minutes help him get, I don't know what his confidence or whatever you may term it. I mean, like Darren Millard said, none of the three goals were awful goals. You just hope you can make the big save. Like, it's just a small body of work getting used to Freddie Hamilton doing that after he was viewed as being the goaltending controversy about 3 weeks ago or so. But Mike Babcock stuck with him, and he made some big saves.
Well, you know, it's not that the goals were ugly and they were terrible goals. But it's all timing, Gord. It's the timing of the saves that you need to make. And when you're a goaltender, you have to be sharp right off the hop. And I know that we talked about Nazem Kadri kind of lost a battle against Freddie Hamilton, and then he lost him in the zone, and he basically got puck staring, and Freddie Hamilton found himself all alone in the slot and got rid of the puck really quick. But still, as much as there's breakdowns, you're looking for that goaltender. You're looking for that guy to be a difference maker, to make that save, to bail you out of a situation. Yes, there were breakdowns in your zone that caused the goals to happen, but you want to give your team an opportunity. The game of hockey is a game of mistakes, but you want to limit the mistakes by big saves or someone picking you up and carrying you through that situation. And I think that Enroth, as much as the goals weren't his fault, you're looking for him to make that big save, one of them, you know, either the Freddie Anderson or the Versteeg. You don't want him to get that lead like the way they did. So at the end of the day, yeah, he didn't play bad, but timely saves is when you need it, and they didn't get that tonight early in the first.
Well, we'll find out if he is one of the Leaf players. We'll hear some Leaf players next hour. We'll get Mike Babcock when we come back, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Follow the L.A. San Jose game that's going on. By the way, there's a hockey game in Philadelphia last night. Apparently, they forgot to turn the air conditioning on today, unseasonably hot.
Oh.
And they had to cancel the Sacramento-Philadelphia 76er game because the floor was sweating.
Soaking, yeah.
So, anyway, more coming up. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Riley to Marner. Marner with a shot off the goalpost. Another shot. Stop. Rebound. Oh, my. Johnson got a left pad in front of that. How Tyler Bozak did not score. Wow.
Well, Wow was right. The performance of Chad Johnson, one of the 39 saves he made. Of course, Joe Bowen with the play-by-play. The only goals he get to call were Calgary Flames goals. It was a 3-0 win for the Calgary Flames over the Toronto Maple Leafs, who welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko with you. And head to Calgary, Luke Fox covering the game for Sportsnet, joining us like he did last night in Edmonton. Well, Luke, it was, we had all these kind of storylines, but who would think that it was not Dougie Hamilton, but Freddie Hamilton that would kind of dictate it very early on?
Yeah, it's been all Hamilton all the time, I guess, today in Calgary, Toronto news. What a horrible start for the Maple Leafs. And the trend this continues is their inability to get it done on the second night of a back-to-back. They're 0-4-1 in those situations. And we were adding it up, and they have 13 more back-to-backs left on the schedule this season. And they just can't get it done. And Babcock said after the game, if you can't do it night in, night out, don't fool yourself. You're not an upper echelon team. And, this team, I think, thinks of themselves as, hey, we might be a playoff team or a team on the rise when they get a big win over a McDavid or shut down or limit at least an Ovechkin. But when they can't do it consistently, and they certainly can't do it consecutively, and it's always like a reality check for these guys.
Now, we're going to hear from Mike Babcock a little bit later on. We're going to hear from some of the players as well. So I don't know, the sentiment beyond Mike Babcock, because it was interesting. The one thing is that they fight till the end. They did get 39 shots on goal. So what was the sentiment of the Leaf team by and large?
The sentiment was that didn't matter, that the game was basically won by Calgary and lost by the Leafs in the first 5 minutes, first 15 minutes. You score the game winner and the insurance goal within a minute. So Babcock said the bottom line is, you can talk all night about how Enroth battled back and played well. And I was just writing my story. He actually improved his save percentage in this game, which tells you something. And how the Leafs stuck with it. And Marner had, three or four beautiful chances, and they ran into a hot goalie. He says, all that doesn't matter. He's like, the fact is we weren't prepared. Our goalie wasn't prepared. Our coaching staff wasn't prepared enough. We had all day to get prepared, and we lose the game in 5 minutes. That's just chatter, but it's all about how you start a game. And he said there were two things. He didn't name the two things, but there were two things he had specifically talked to the guys about that they need to take care of right from puck drop, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah, look, it seemed like mirror opposites of what happened in Edmonton to Calgary. I mean, Toronto does it to Edmonton last night, a quick start, and then Calgary does it to Toronto tonight. And we were talking about, you can't put all the blame on the backup goalie. Enroth hasn't played that much. But at the end of the day, you're looking for timely saves. I know they weren't terrible goals, but the timing of the goals, first minute there, first 19 seconds and another 49 seconds later. I mean, that's what kills you. And I don't care if you're the starting goalie or the backup goalie, you've got to be sharp. And even though those were, there were plays that were made by, Nazem Kadri lost Freddie Hamilton in front of the net in the first goal. You're looking for that goaltender to bail you out. And that just didn't happen early in this game.
No, it just totally sucks the wind out of your sails. And not unlike Edmonton, there were tons of Maple Leaf fans here, and they, there were moments where they tried to rile them up. But when you set a tone of going down 2-0 that quickly, it's hard to do. And there was just, they didn't seem ready. Jake Gardner almost, he said it was a mental thing. It wasn't an issue of being tired. But it was like a focus thing. And maybe part of that, it comes from being young, and it would be hard to blame fatigue when you're this early in the season and when you have so many young players, right? These aren't veterans that need to take a night off. So, yeah, it's disappointing because you want to build off that momentum. When they had won two games in a row, they were feeling pretty good about themselves. And this was a letdown game. But conversely, you got to realize the Flames had been the worst, and they may still be the worst home team in the West. So this was a bit of a statement game. Their coach, Glenn Gulletson, said that they had this date circled. Like a lot of their players look forward to, okay, the Leafs are coming in. There's going to be a bit more attention. They have to adjust the start time. It's a 6:30 local start when they're used to 7:30. So they have to cater to us Easterners. So they take some pride in they want to be known as a good home team, not just a good road team. So they came ready. The Leafs didn't.
Dougie Hamilton talked before. We heard, well, Brian Burke went off on it. Brad Treliving talked about it. Dougie Hamilton even addressed it. You know, one thing I threw out there on Twitter was just, you know, the rumor mill now misses on every big deal. I mean, all the big deals, like Weber for Subban, you know, Taylor Hall for Adam Larson, Ryan Johansson for Sean Jones, Dion Phaneuf to Ottawa. Like nobody gets a hint of them at all. But then there were rumblings about Ryan Johansson when John Tortorella came aboard. There were rumblings about P.K. Subban to a degree. And you knew Edmonton was looking to trade one of their big guns. So in saying that, maybe they don't get the trades, but quite often where there's smoke, there's fire. So we'll have to see how this plays out. But obviously they do the usual thing where everyone's coming to the aid of, what's the aid of Dougie Hamilton, but basically trying to squelch it.
Yeah, and I was in the room today in the scrum with Dougie, and you know he was saying all the right things, that it doesn't bother him and all this stuff, but he looked kind of visibly nervous and awkward. I mean, it's got to be awkward when you're addressing your own trade rumors. But he wasn't. I've seen guys talk about this stuff before and brush it off or laugh it off, and he wasn't laughing, you know. And he has a bunch of buddies in Toronto that he said have been getting in his ear about it, and you know, it's got to affect a guy, especially a guy that's so young and it has already been moved once. And you know, I feel like we don't know the whole story of what went down in Boston. He's a good player. He's the ideal size. He's the right shot. He's all those things you want in a young defenseman. So what went wrong in Boston? Like, and I don't think we know the whole picture. So it'll be interesting to see, but the Flames have made a huge commitment to him, and a deal like that, moving a guy like that who probably hasn't reached his prime, or they certainly hope so, is a risky move to make.
Luke, looking at the Calgary Flames again, we're talking about these guys are making a push. It was a great game by them tonight. Is this now Chad Johnson's job to lose? Or are they going to just, you know, seemingly ride this hot streak as long as they can? And the first sign of him, you know, having a bit of a hiccup, it's going to go back to Elliott's team. But right now, it just seems like they're going to ride the hot horse as long as they can, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I think he's earned the job. You know, that's it. If he loses, you know, 3-4 games in a row, it'll be a different story. And I think they'll try to get Elliott his starts. It won't be a situation like it is in Toronto where Enroth hardly gets any starts. Like, I think they will try to get Brian Elliott going. But, no, Chad Johnson is the number one guy. Gulletson was actually asked today if he had to name his team MVP at this early juncture in the season, who would it be? And he said, yeah, it would be Johnson. And who would have thought that? He's a $1.7 million one-year backup goalie pickup that they made on free agency day. And you could credit him for a lot of their wins. He has 3 shutouts in the last 16 days. And, you know, it's well known that the pucks haven't been going in for Calgary. Johnny Gaudreau skated today, which was a good sign, and was shooting the puck with that broken finger. So that's a positive sign. But a lot of their shooters got off slow starts. A lot of their defensemen who they count on to generate offense, like Giordano and TJ Brody, haven't been putting up the numbers they had hoped for. So, it's a lot of credit goes to Chad Johnson for the month of November for kind of slowly turning this team around. And let's not forget, they're in a really weak division. The Pacific Division is still up for grabs. So they are a team, you could say, despite a really awful start, could work their way back into the picture pretty easily.
Hey, Luke, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks for the time, guys.
Luke Fox joining us. He's with Sportsnet. He's been covering the games out in Western Canada, so we've given Chris Johnston a little bit of a break that way.
He makes a good point there about Calgary being able to get back in it. They're actually 1 point out of a playoff spot right now, Gord. So L.A. holds the last one down to 25 points, and after tonight's win, Calgary's got 24, and they're within 3 points or 3 points of San Jose, who's in third place with 27. So, yeah, that's a great example of how tight that conference is. You have a good weekend or you have a bad weekend and you're either in or out of the playoff spot.
Yeah, and also one note, Chad Johnson, we talked about earlier. Three shutouts in the calendar month of November. The last Calgary Flames goaltender to get three shutouts in a calendar month, Freddie Brathwaite,
yep.
December 1999. So
do you know Freddie? He's a great guy. He's one of the coolest guys I've ever met, and just a fun guy to be around. And had a decent career, but then he ended up going over to Germany. Actually, he played there for the last 3 or 4 years. Great guy.
He was hot with the Flames, as they say back then. We talked a little bit just finding what Mike Babcock had to say. We heard him talk about things before the game. Let's hear what Leaf head coach Mike Babcock had to say after tonight's 3-0 loss to the Calgary Flames.
Two opening shifts into perspective here, Mike.
Well, obviously disappointed. I mean, I thought we were playing well. We came in here, obviously weren't ready as a team, as a coaching staff, as a goaltender, weren't ready, and ended up giving up your full day of preparation in the first 5 minutes or whatever it is, and so there's no excuse for that. It also shows you you're not an upper echelon team when you can't do it night in, night out. And so our preparation as a coaching staff and our preparation as players in the room isn't good enough, and it's not at a high enough level to be an elite team. So we got some work to do. I don't think that surprises anybody, but our start here tonight is unleaf. It's not worthy. We got to do a better job on that.
How do you teach that to a young team, Mike?
We're going to continue to talk about it and get better. Two things we talk specifically about cost us their first two goals. So obviously the message sent wasn't received or wasn't sent well enough. And so that's part of on me and that's part on them.
After the first two goals, do you feel the team got into the game and
have
the responded to that at the very least?
Well, I would say to you this. When you go through it, at the end of this, it's going to be, we're going to have had lots of chances. Johnson's going to have played good. That doesn't much matter, though, does it? Like, you had all day to prepare, and we weren't prepared.
Thank you.
Not good enough.
Jonas hasn't had a kind of great outing yet.
Correct.
How patient can you be with him?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's we're all professionals. We have to do our job, and that's the reality. Is he's got to get prepared, and our team's got to get prepared. Tonight wasn't good enough for any of us.
You said there were two things that you were talking about, and those two things fell through.
What's next?
What about the Flames going forward? If they get that kind of goaltending from Johnson, what, three shutouts in 2.5 weeks? What kind of team do they
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're no different than us. They're a group. They're a work in progress. And Johnson, we talked to Johnson this summer as well. And he's a good guy, and he's calm, and he's playing well. They got another good goalie in Elliott. It hasn't gone as good, obviously. But, for Gully's sake, he's a good man, and I'm pulling for him, so I hope he does a good job. See you guys.
Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock talking after the game tonight. Yeah, a little bit chat with Chad Johnson versus Jonas Enroth. I wonder, like looking at it, again, not slamming Jonas Enroth, but Chad Johnson so far been the story of what's gone on so far as a goaltender grabbing the brass ring.
And I think it gets magnified a little bit more on starts now because of how good Freddie Anderson has been as of late. So you almost don't want him to come out of the nets, but you do understand that he needs to have a break from time to time. And I think that gets magnified a little bit because of the fact that Freddie Anderson has been that good. So all of a sudden, Enroth goes in and you expect him to be as hot and as good as Anderson. So kind of it's a tough spot for Enroth to be in. It would have been a tough spot for any goalie to be in right now. But yeah, Chad Johnson's played great for Calgary. And, you don't have a crystal ball. We don't know who's going to perform at what level. In the summertime, you do your stats, you figure out who's going to be your best guy, and that's a contract you offer to him. And, hey, they're both decent goaltenders. Chad Johnson just seems to be doing a really good job for Calgary right now.
Jake Gardner, tonight he played the most of any Toronto Maple Leaf, 22 minutes, 24 seconds, was a -2, and no shots on net. But being the stand-up guy, here he is talking after tonight's 3-0 loss.
The opening two shifts and hope to compete at the end of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, having a back-to-back, especially having won the first one, we were feeling pretty good about ourselves, and maybe, I don't know what it was, but we obviously weren't ready to play tonight, and it obviously cost us early.
Is this a trend, a theme over five sets of back-to-back games where team's been unable to at least win one of those games?
Yeah, I mean, winning that first one, you know, having such a young team, I don't think we were tired or anything. It was more of a mental lapse at the start of the game and that killed us.
Is that just something to learn, Jake, on the end? Just back-to-backs or as much a mental thing really as a physical thing?
Yeah, for sure. It's being back-to-backs, you know, like I said, it shouldn't be a problem for our group. And just something about tonight, we just weren't ready to play.
Other than the start, how did you feel the rest of the game was? Obviously, their goalie made a number of big saves.
Yeah, he was really good for them tonight. Jonas was great at the, you know, the second two periods and held us in the game. It, you know, we tried to compete and score and just didn't go our way.
Jake Gardner. And, yeah, just did not go their way tonight, did not go their way rather early, as we've talked about. If you're just tuning in, 19 seconds into the game, first goal by Freddie Hamilton, second goal by Christopher Stieg, the former Maple Leaf, 49 seconds in. First time there's been two goals scored in the first minute of a game in any NHL game since, back in 2011. New York Philadelphia Flyers did in 47 seconds against the New York Islanders in March of 2011. So that kind of was the template for how it ultimately played out.
It was. And again, you want the goaltender to make the save, but if we want to break it down, and I'm sure that Mike Babcock will, these guys, if you look at the three goals again, Gord, there is, you know, there's always a breakdown. There's always a mistake when goals are scored, but these ones are pretty glaring. The first one with Freddie Hamilton, it's a Nazem Kadri, kind of gets out muscled behind the net. Hamilton walks up the wall, cycles it back down to Ferland and then goes to the front of the net. And that's when Kadri kind of turns his back. So two things, he gets out muscled, he doesn't pay attention, gets to puck staring, ends up in a goal. And then the second one is basically, you know, a situation where the defense, I think, backed up a little bit on a 3-on-2, and there was a shot pulled up in the slot by Monahan. And the rebound goes directly to Versteeg. Now, it's a tough one because it's just a rebound, but you're hoping that, first of all, the goalie can make the save and it goes to a non-dangerous area. But I think that the defenseman backed up a little too much, gave him too much chances. Another one that can be fixed. And then finally, the last one, they talk about Matt Stajan driving the net and Michael Frolik's pass. He gets a backhand on to redirect. And if you see the play again, you'll see Austin Matthews is back. And then all of a sudden, two Calgary Flame guys just burn right by him. And he's kind of flat-footed, not paying attention to what's going around, and gets caught. So three goals that there are technical mistakes made that they got to clean up. But at the end of the day, you're hoping that your goalie can bail you out in one of them. It didn't happen tonight. And ultimately, they just couldn't get back into the game.
We will come back with more Leafs Nation postgame. We'll hear from more of the Toronto Maple Leaf players after tonight's game. It was a 3-0 victory for the Calgary Flames over the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The better place to play. Leafs Nation is back on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Rain, sleet, snow are coming to threaten your visibility and turn your commute into a battle. But the Michelin Man is ready to protect you with Michelin Stealth Wiper Blades. Exclusive Smart Flex technology makes these blades flex to the curve of your windshield, giving you the best wipe possible and streak-free, long-lasting performance for safer driving. Winter is coming, and when it arrives, be ready. Michelin Wiper Blades. It doesn't get any clearer than this. Available at Costco, Home Depot, and other fine retailers.
Did you know that half of Canadians have at least one old cell phone sitting in a junk drawer? Recycle Myself, the free national cell phone recycling program, makes it easy to responsibly dispose of your used wireless devices. Make the right call by dropping off your old cell phones at one of the 3,500 locations across Canada. Visit recyclemycell.ca to find the drop-off location nearest you. Brought to you by the Canadian Wireless Telecommunications Association.
A serious accident can change your whole world and turn your life upside down. I'm Bobby Kelsey. At Kelsey & Associates, we can help. If you're facing a lengthy recovery, rehabilitation, and time away from work and family, you need the help of a lawyer. At Kelsey & Associates Injury Lawyers, we stand proudly by your side, fighting for insurance benefits and coverage you deserve. Don't deal with your accident alone.
Call 1-844-90-LAWYER or visit KALSILaw.com for your no-charge consultation.
One-up yourself. Hi, this is Alistair Baxter from Lexus on the Park. Thinking of trading in your car? Come see me first. At Lexus on the Park, we have many Lexus-certified pre-owned models to choose from. Every one of them with lease and finance rates from 1.8%. But if you're still just thinking about it, remember, I'll buy your car, even if you don't buy one of mine. Lexus on the Park, located at Leslie and Eglinton, or visit lexusonthepark.ca for details.
The most candid conversations you'll hear on the radio. This is Real Radio. Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
Subway restaurants invite you to make every day different with the sub of the day. Every day, it's a different 6-inch sub on your choice of oven-baked bread with any veggies you want for just $4 or foot-long sub for just $7. And for just a little more, you can add any bag of Frito-Lay chips and any 21-ounce Pepsi drink to make it a great meal. So come in today for your sub of the day. Only at Subway restaurants. Limited time only. Participation varies. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional charge for extras plus tax where applicable.
Lewis and John are busy stalling at work when the unthinkable happens.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Hey, John?
I'm a little busy right now.
My toilet is totally clogged. It's not a joke, man. It's starting to overflow. What do I do?
You're going to have to go to the front desk and tell Donna. She'll find Bob, the maintenance guy.
Are you kidding me?
There goes your shot with her, buddy.
Keep track of what needs repairs and attention with free maintenance software from MaintenanceCare.com. Work order simplified.
When you need your favorite watch fixed, bring it to the Hudson's Bay Watch and Jewelry Services, because this is where you'll find Swiss-trained experts. Need a watch battery or leather strap replaced? We can do that while you wait, and we've been doing it for almost 40 years. So when time stops, get it going with the Swiss-trained experts at Hudson's Bay Watch and Jewelry Services. Right now, enter the Diamond Sweepstakes with a chance to win a 1-carat diamond in a white gold setting valued at $10,000. No purchase necessary. Details in store or at thetimeshop.com.
You can friend us on Facebook or follow what we tweet. We've got some posts on YouTube that we think are pretty sweet. We're the charity that wants to be the reason that you think about planning a safe ride home before you start to drink. Take a cab or be the DD are some strategies to use to keep your license, keep your car, keep your money too. Thanks for always driving sober. Find out more at arrivealive.org. Arrive Alive, Drive Sober is supported by the Beer Store.
Even our radio tower towers above the competition. Hear Sportsnet 590 The Fan in crystal clear HD radio. Now available on your HD receiver at 92.5 FM and HD Channel 3.
Well, any hope it'd be two consecutive games. A great effort against the Edmonton Oilers the other night did not happen very quickly for the Leafs tonight. Two goals against by the Calgary Flames in the first 49 seconds. A 3-0 Calgary Flame win. We'll continue to break it all down on Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
They're no different than us. They're a group. They're a work in progress. And Johnson, we talked to Johnson this summer as well. And he's a good guy, and he's calm, and he's playing well. They got another good goalie in Elliott. Hasn't gone as good, obviously.
Well, I had a whole lot from Mike Babcock. We had him pregame. We had him postgame. And I don't know how he... As we say, we never quite know the method behind his madness, or maybe we're reading too much into it. Welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, it was a 3-0 Calgary Flame win over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And again, the storyline is two goals, one goal 19 seconds in the game, two goals 49 seconds in the game. And we're wondering if Jonas Enroth was going to be pulled early to two goals on his first three shots against. And, of course, no success he's had every time he started for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Kerry Ramos been around, and you name it. But that clip there, when you hear Mike Babcock just talk, someone asked him about Chad Johnson. Yeah, he's a good guy, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we talked to him in the summer I don't know if there was an element of wistfulness there or something like that or not.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting. They probably did. He's probably just being honest. They talked to him and they didn't come to, you know, it'd be interesting if he would have brought that up if Chad Johnson hasn't been playing at all. But I mean, you've got your goalies, you're rolling with it. It may just compliment saying that they knew that he was that good. I think that's what they were talking about. So he wasn't really surprised on how good Chad Johnson has been for the Calgary Flames, because they obviously inquired to him as well. And I think that was just giving him a little bit of compliment and letting them know, you know, we knew how good he was. We actually were after him as well, and we didn't get him.
Take a look. See how many minutes he played tonight. Just to take a look at the three goals. I always like to break it down. They came at you rather quick. And yeah, Freddie Hamilton, just 10 minutes, 17 seconds of ice time. He plays about 9 minutes, but Glenn Gullitson decided to start him, right?
Yep.
Put him against Nazem Kadri, and Freddie Hamilton makes the difference. He makes Naz cough the puck up, and ultimately he gets his first goal of the season. He's the older brother of Dougie Hamilton. He gets the first goal of the season from Furland and Englund at the 19-second mark.
Well, not quite as big as his brother, but Freddie Hamilton's a, you know, heavy body, 6'1", 195, so he was throwing his body around, and, you know, what happened on the first goal, it was puck was in the corner, and Freddie Hamilton beats Nazem Kadri in a physical battle, comes up with the puck, goes up the wall, throws it back down behind, goes to Furland, and goes to the point where he loses. Nazem Kadri doesn't pay attention to where he is. Furland comes out, throws a pass to him, one-timer into the net, 19 seconds in, it's Calgary 1 in Toronto, nothing.
So it's funny when you hear the highlights as well. Joe Bowen's still just trying to get everything all set about who's in goal and whatever. So he's kind of talking
comfortable
about this
in his seat still.
Quick first goal. And then all of a sudden, the second goal, 49-second mark, former Leaf, Christopher Stieg, only his third of the season for Monahan and Brower.
And, you know, what you'll notice on this play, too, is it all starts by Chad Johnson. Not only was he stopping the puck, but he was setting up plays. So the puck gets dumped in. Toronto's coming in with an aggressive forecheck, trying to get to the puck. Chad Johnson does a great job of going off the boards and getting it to one of the Flames wingers. And then there's an indirect pass that goes straight up to, or a direct pass that goes up to the middle. And they head up on a 3-on-2, and they beat the forecheck by Johnson, chipping it around behind the boards. And then they got a couple Leaf guys caught. And then they go down, and Versteeg basically does a little button hook or a little bit of a delayed motion on the half wall, finds Monahan in the slot. Monahan kind of puts a little bit of the brakes on, gets a good shot off. Enroth gets his pad out. Unfortunately, the rebound goes directly to Versteeg, who's still in the wall, and he's on his right-hand side. He's a right-hand shot, and he just one-times a puck right past Enroth to give the Flames a 2-0 lead, not even a minute into the game.
Well, it goes on for a little while, and then later in the first period, 15:49 mark, Matt Stajan, his second of the season on the power play from Frolik and Chiasson.
Yeah, Frolik carries the puck down. It's a pretty simple situation where Matt Stajan drives a net. He's on his backhand. Frolik makes a nice pass to him, and he just redirects it in his backhand past Enroth to make it 3-0. But and on that play, we've already mentioned a couple times, a little bit of a puck staring and kind of flat-footed Austin Matthews right at the blue line, and a couple Flames blew right by him. Just, you know, not paying attention to exactly what's going on, and that cost him a goal. And, you know, 3-0 deficit is a tough one to come back from, especially when they get them all in the first period.
We mentioned as well that, you know, the other night, last night, the Leafs, you know, their guys scored like Nazem Kadri's 10th goal, Austin Matthews' 10th goal, James Van Riemsdyk's 10th goal of the season. Calgary scoring from unlikely sources. It was Freddie Hamilton's first of the year, Matt Stajan's second of the year, Christopher Stieg's third of the year. So in what was only their fourth win on home ice, it was nice to see it all spread around that way. Shots on goal, 39-29 for the Maple Leafs. So they put 39 shots on Chad Johnson, who picked up the shutout.
You know what? Not playing extremely well at home right now, and maybe that's going to change soon. And one thing I was going to touch on, Gordon, it's going to be interesting. I know this has been brought up about a week or so or maybe 2 weeks ago, talking about seeing Edmonton's new rink. And I had a chance to play in the Saddle Dome for parts of 4 years. Great little rink. But they're looking to build something new in Calgary. And we haven't heard a whole lot the last little while, but I think it's only going to be a matter of time till they get a nice arena in downtown Calgary somewhere to kind of rival with what's been going on. I mean, you can see it on the TV tonight. There's a few dull areas already, and it's just that type of city needs a new rink. And I don't know why I'm going down this path. It's just that I'd like to see a new rink get built in Calgary. They've talked about it. I've seen it's far overdue. Hopefully that they get behind the city and the mayor decide that it is time for Calgary to get a new rink, because I think that'll make a world of difference for that market in Calgary.
Well, we'll find out. Of course, they played out of the Calgary Corral for 2 years. Then the Saddledome.
That was a beautiful
Saddledome was considered the state of the art
in '88, right? I think that's when it started, right when the Olympics were in Calgary. Yep.
Take a look. Some of the ice time that went on tonight, and just always indicative. I mentioned the one noticeable thing is that it seems like Mike Babcock has got sweet on Nikita Soshnikov after his play on Saturday. He kind of morphed into more of a third-line player, 13 minutes, 27 seconds, at the expense of Connor Brown, who still played 11 minutes and 5 seconds. Now, Connor Brown was a minus two, so I take it they were out for those two goals early on at the start. Austin Matthews, Connor Brown, Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner were all minus twos. Who am I missing here? Connor Brown, Austin Matthews. I guess just those four. They must have switched somebody else in along the way. So that kind of went on that way. I mentioned Jake Gardner got the most ice time of defenseman, 22-24. And interesting that William Nylander, and just some of the speculation that went on that he maybe was falling out of graces, that maybe something had happened that wasn't injury-related, but he got the most ice time, 19 minutes, 49 seconds of all the forwards.
Well, just a little message probably from Mike Babcock regarding William Nylander. Didn't probably like the way he was playing. A little bit of a message early, like we talked about the other night. You want to try to nip something in the butt. And again, something that maybe Mike Babcock sees, whether it's in the dressing room, on the ice, whatever. He didn't like what he was doing. So it was just kind of a quick little message. And obviously, the message was received. And then he's back out there playing as many minutes as he possibly can tonight, leading all forwards with 19-30. You know, you mentioned Soshnikov, Gordon. The one thing I like about him, you don't realize he's only like, he's 5'11". 190 pounds or 185 pounds. So not the biggest guy, but man, when he's out there, he shows a skill set. He has a really good skill set, but the speed that he can do things and he does it at a high speed, and he's a little bit of a water bug and he gets under the people's, under opposing players' skin sometimes. I really like the way he's playing, so it's not a surprise that he has turned into a Babcock favorite right now, because the guy just comes to play every single night. Didn't get on the board tonight, but nobody did. But I do like the way this kid's been playing, and he's earned his ice time.
Well, we, of course, hear from different players after the game. A little late getting some of the tape, but it's starting to come in a bit more. Austin Matthews, he's always an accountable stand-up guy. He was one of those that was minus two tonight. Still got 17 minutes, 57 seconds of ice time. He got five shots on goal tonight. Here he is. Post-game, he did scored goals in his previous three games, so like every Toronto Maple Leaf, he did not score tonight, but here he is after the 3-0 loss.
Austin, Jake said focus wasn't there to begin the game. What was it like from your perspective, those two opening shifts?
Yeah, it's a really tough start. I mean, we were back on our heels, weren't ready from the jump, and they were, so they took advantage of that. Got a couple quick ones, put us back on our heels, and that's a tough hole to get yourself out of.
How good was their goaltender, because you guys did have chances as you managed to compete later on, you particularly as well?
Yeah, their goalie's been hot lately. He made a lot of really good saves still on his head. I thought the second and third period, we definitely played much better, in terms of creating opportunities and, taking control of the play more. So we got to do that for a full 60 minutes. It's pretty unacceptable that first, 10 minutes for sure. So we got to clean that up.
Do you feel like maybe you're coming in feeling too good about what you guys did last night, or how do you feel like the start got away from you?
I just think we weren't ready, prepared to play. Our focus wasn't there. When you're playing back-to-back, obviously, you're going to be tired, but you got to push through that, and you got to be smarter out there. And we weren't smart. We didn't compete. A lot of 50-50 battles we didn't win, so that's something that we got to learn from and get better at.
Putting aside tonight, looking forward to 2 days off in Western Canada. Have you ever been personally to that part of Canada?
I've never been to Calgary before. This is my first time. I've been to Vancouver quite a bit, so pretty familiar with the area. It's obviously very beautiful, so we're definitely looking forward to a couple days off. Good sightseeing, getting to walk around the city and, just seeing what it has to offer, and then we'll have a nice game, nice meal tomorrow, and then a day of practice and then the game. So definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw someone tweet out, there's Austin Matthews, that, yeah, you can expect Mike Babcock to skate them hard, but I believe tomorrow's one of those off days, right? You get one of them on the road, so the coach can't turn around, and that's fine. And then Friday you'll have a full skate and get at it and see what gives.
He's talking about some sightseeing in Vancouver. Hopefully they'll be staying away from the sights of Roxy's and the Shark Club down in Vancouver. Some two great places that we always frequented when we went to that city. But, yeah, he's going to enjoy that. And you know what, Gord? Sometimes, like for instance, for tonight, I think that winning that game in Edmonton, you don't want to say it was kind of a free pass tonight and hopefully they could win, because you want to win every single game. But it doesn't hurt as much going into Vancouver, knowing that they did get a split in Alberta, and they get a chance to go into Vancouver. And it is a beautiful city. There's a lot of things to do there. And for a young team like this, sometimes that's good to have a day off and bond with your teammates, get out, have a nice dinner, get recharged, refocused, and come back and get ready for a big game in Vancouver, because it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be energetic. And I can assure you that this Leaf team will be very much more prepared than they were tonight in Calgary.
Well, I've heard of street-proofing your children. I think if you were still on the roster, you have to street-proof the 19-year-olds from hanging Todd Halushko when they go on the road somewhere, as far as it goes.
Life experience, man. That's what it's all about. Get out there and have some fun.
Well, Jonas Enroth might feel like going to the Shark Club or something like yeah. that. Never mind all the sightseeing. He did have 29 shots on net. Of course, three were scored. He's yet to win a game for the Toronto Maple Leafs as the goaltender for the Leafs. Here is Jonas Enroth tonight after the 3-0 loss.
It's totally disappointing from a team concept to come here on an emotional win last night and boom, right off the bat, two shifts, you're down two.
Yeah, it was a tough start. Two a little bit unlucky goals. But, I felt ready, but they beat me on the two first shots. So it's a tough start.
Can you take us through what you saw in those plays?
Well, the first goal, I didn't get to my position, and that's on me. I mean, maybe I was a little bit slow on the pass out. And the second goal, just a bang-bang play. It's not much to do there, I think.
You feel happy with how things settled down after that?
You're never happy when you lose. But I guess I think we bounced back pretty well. We didn't give up too much in the last two periods.
You haven't really had a signature game this year. Is that something that you just kind of, you're eventually going to have, you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm working on. Keep working on it every day, and hopefully it's going to come sooner.
Is part of that struggle because all your starts have come in the second half of back-to-backs?
No, I mean, that's why I'm here pretty much, and I've been used to starting the second night back-to-backs before, and I just need to battle through and get a win next time.
In your past, have you noticed that because there's layoffs between games, the start of that next start you have is more challenging than once you get into the groove and rhythm, you feel better?
Yeah, I mean, when you play more, you're starting to feel a bit more comfortable. It's tough when you don't play too often, but I mean, that's my job, and I need to do a better job in the future.
Mentally moving forward, how do you stay positive, confident, and waiting that next chance? It might be a week and a half, 2 weeks from now.
Try to stay positive. Don't think too much about the last game, and just trying to look forward and stay positive. That's the main thing here.
I'm trying to stay positive. And Jonas Enroth, what I do like is he's been a stand-up guy after all the losses. And I do like the guys are quick to, he puts the first goal on himself a little bit. And that unlike, to me, the Phil Kessel, everybody else's fault in the world era. And I'm happy he won the Stanley Cup. But that was the toxic environment that was here. That whether it's Austin Matthews, the rookie, or a guy like Jonas Enroth coming and trying to, you know, really sustain his NHL career, you see enough that they'll say, hey, it's on me.
Yeah, I mean, tough situation for him to come in. That was his fourth start, so he's played in six games. But that was his fourth start. He would have loved to have got his first win. He's three losses and an overtime loss right now. So, you know, a little bit of inflated goals against. He's a 3.94. He would like to bring that down a little bit. But, you know, I do like what he said, too. I like he comes to he takes ownership in what he said about he thought he could have helped get that first one, be in a better position. So I like when he does come out and say that. But, you know, that's the thing. You feel bad for a guy like this because he is a stand-up guy. He's a nice guy. He's a team guy. Everyone I've talked to says that this guy is the consummate pro. So, you know, again, in that locker room, I don't think anyone feels worse than the team itself that they can't just get this guy the first win. This would have been a nice one to pick up on back-to-backs. It didn't happen. Now they just got to get focused and get ready for Saturday night.
Well, we'll also hear one more time Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. Let's hear what he had to say after tonight's 3-0 loss to Calgary.
Two opening shifts into perspective here, Mike.
Well, obviously disappointed. I mean, I thought we were playing well. We came in here, obviously weren't ready as a team, as a coaching staff, as a goaltender, weren't ready. and end up giving up your full day of preparation in the first 5 minutes or whatever it is. And so there's no excuse for that. It also shows you you're not an upper echelon team when you can't do it night in, night out, night in, night out. And so our preparation as a coaching staff and our preparation as players in the room isn't good enough. And it's not at a high enough level to be an elite team. So we got some work to do. I don't think that surprises anybody. But our start here tonight, is unleaf. It's not worthy. We got to do a better job on that.
How do you teach that to a young team, Mike?
We're going to continue to talk about it and get better. Two things we talk specifically about cost us their first two goals. So obviously the message sent wasn't received or wasn't sent well enough. And so that's part of on me and that's part on them.
After the first two goals, do you feel the team got into the game and
have
the ability to respond to that at the very least?
Well, I would say to you this. When you go through it, at the end of this, it's going to be, we're going to have had lots of chances. Johnson's going to play good. That doesn't much matter, though, does it? Like, you had all day to prepare, and we weren't prepared. Not good enough.
Jonas hasn't had a kind of great outing yet. How patient can you be with him?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's we're all professionals, and we have to do our job, and that's the reality. Is he's got to get prepared, and our team's got to get prepared. Tonight wasn't good enough for any of us.
You said there were two things that you were talking about, and those two things fell through. What were those two things?
What's next?
What about the Flames going forward if they get that kind of goaltending from Johnson? What, three shutouts in 2.5 weeks? What kind of team do they
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're no different than us. They're a group. They're a work in progress. And Johnson, we talked to Johnson this summer as well. And he's a good guy, and he's calm, and he's playing well. They got another good goalie in Elliott. It hasn't gone as good, obviously. But, for Gully's sake, he's a good man, and I'm pulling for him, so I hope he does a good job. See you guys.
Yeah, Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we'll take one more look at our out-of-town scoreboard as well. Yesterday, it was a busy one. There were 12 games around the National Hockey League, and tonight and a night where Toronto FC has advanced to the final. They have a big win over Montreal. We take a look at our rather small out-of-town scoreboard with Matt Brown.
Yes, not as busy a night, just two other games. One already in the books earlier tonight, the Pittsburgh Penguins in Brooklyn to take on the Islanders. And the Islanders win again for consecutive time for the first time this season. 5-3 winners over the Penguins. They jumped out to a 3-0 lead, and then the Penguins scored three unanswered goals in the third period to tie it up with 7 minutes left. But then Anders Lee scored his fifth of the season with just 27 seconds left to give them the victory. But Nikolai Kuhlman iced it 3 seconds later to tie the NHL record for the two fastest goals in 3 seconds. And we did the quiz earlier on the two teams they're tied with. 2004 Minnesota Wild.
Yes, and back then the St. Louis Eagles in 1935, a game I remember.
Yeah, you just wrote your bachelor's, is that right?
That's it. I just got it done and I hustled to see the game.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there was no if the second goal was an empty net goal like this one was tonight.
Had to be.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
It was. Kuhlman's was an empty netter.
No, I know that, but I'm wondering if the other cases.
Yeah, did they have goalies in 1935? the other one on the go right now, Sharks in Los Angeles, 3-1. San Jose is up on the Kings. Kevin LeBanc with his second, the former Barry Colt. Logan Couture with his eighth. And Ryan Carpenter from Bowling Green University gets his first career NHL goal. Dustin Brown has the lone goal in the second period for the Kings. Peter Budaj and the Kings trying to come back and win their sixth straight game.
Thanks as always, Matt. That's Matt Brown. Of course, we'll all be back at it on, I guess, Saturday. Hockey Nation, 5 to 7 p.m., your must-listen-to radio hockey presentation. Might even get a visit again from Eddie Olchuk. We're reconnecting with him as a Saturday guest, so that'll be fun hearing from Enzo. And, what can say? It's a split. We'll find out what gives Saturday, Todd.
Well, we turn the new page. We're done with November. We are officially in December right now, so we'll see how this month boils out for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They start their first December game against Vancouver on Saturday.
3-0 tonight. The Leafs lose to the Calgary Flames. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.